This episode is brought to you by CEP Compression Australia. CEP Compression brings the user more energy, greater endurance, and enhanced performance during activities. For a discount at CEP, use the following code online, local legends in running. Welcome to the Local Legends in Running podcast, where you hear the stories from local legends in the Australian running community you've simply always wanted to hear. Today in Season 3, Episode 70, I continue the Road to Osaka series, Episode 2, with Clive Gross, Brisbane and Bush Jerky Track Club runner, and Kyle Weiss from Kyle's Run Coaching on the Gold Coast. Both gentlemen, 2:31 marathoners at the Gold Coast in the last 2 years, are very much heading towards a sub-2:30 at Osaka, February 24. You'll hear their training weeks, training insights, and also a little bit on nutrition this evening as they delve into their preparation for the marathon itself. I hope you enjoy. Welcome again, everyone, to the Local Legends in Running podcast. Road to Osaka series, episode 2 this is, and it's the 30th of December, only a few days away from 2025, 7:33 p.m. on the clock. And as I discussed last episode, the whole premise of this spin-off series is to hear the insights into two 2:31 marathoners in Clive Gross from the Bush Turkey Track Club, my apologies, in Brisbane, and Kyle Weiss, coach of Kyle's Run Coaching on the Gold Coast. So firstly, a massive welcome to Clive. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks, Ollie. How are you?
Excellent. Sitting up in Twin Waters at a unit I share with the family at the moment. So being here for a few days and looking forward to staying for a few more days. Kyle, how are you, mate? You're in Brisbane?
Yeah, but I'm still on the coast.
Sorry,
I'm
Gold Coast.
Still working, so... Yeah, no, it's still normal work for me other than a few days off, but I'm good. Had a good Christmas, so feeling relaxed and ready to kickstart 2025.
Yeah, and I saw Clive away actually up the coast somewhere. You're back in Brisbane, aren't you?
Back in Brisbane now, yeah. I spent a night up in Nambour at my brother's place. That was on Boxing Day.
Yeah, right. Excellent. All righty, gents, a massive episode planned for us. We're going to start off the episode with something a little bit different tonight, and talking about three big moments of the year for you in terms of yourselves personally and also with your respective running groups in Brisbane and the Gold Coast, and then also thinking of someone in the Australian running scene that you've been very impressed with or a moment thus far in the year. I assume you guys are both ready to go after talking off air.
Good to go. Yeah.
Awesome. Let's start with the usual Clive. He's normally first on the series, aren't you, Clive?
I think so, yeah. All right, so go personal.
Yeah, go for it. 2024, yep. Biggest personal achievements, proudest moments.
So in terms of running, I'd have to say it'd be Bridge to Brisbane. You know, I had a tough year with injuries. I had, you know, the stress fracture at the beginning of the year that I'd been wrestling with the osteitis pubis. And it wasn't until late into the year I started to get back into consistent running. And by the time Bridge to Brisbane came around, you know, I wasn't that fit, but I still managed to run a 3 second PB. I think I just really wanted to race well. I wanted it really bad. And I was just quite proud of the way I raced. I held back, didn't run outside of my abilities for the first half, and then was able to pick it up at the end and basically pass a whole bunch of people in the last 3K. Had a good sprint finish in the last K with Jen Gregson too, which was fun.
Okay.
And yeah, I was just super happy with the result overall. So yeah, despite it not being a huge performance compared to other races I've done in previous years, it was just felt good to get one on the board for the year.
Fantastic, mate. And we spoke about a moment, or just in general, your sense of the turkeys and where they're at, or anything that stands out in your mind for 2024.
Oh, 2024 has been a massive year for the Bush Turkey Track Club. We've seen so much growth. We've seen so many of our members get, something positive out of the club, or multiple things out of the club. So it's quite hard to pick one thing. One event that I guess probably resonates with me a lot, and I've got a lot of good memories from, was traveling to Wandai Country Running Festival back in June this year. We had 12 bush turkeys and their families head out there and camp over the weekend and participate in various events all across the Saturday and Sunday. It was a really good event. It's got the down to earth country vibes, but also it's organized and facilitated really well with a great atmosphere that you'd expect at like a major event. Given out for all these various events across a week, weekend were like cheese boards, like handmade timber cheese boards. And yeah, it was funny, like every event there was at least one or two turkeys on the podium with a big cheese board in their hands. So it was quite, yeah, good for the club to for everyone to come home with something, which was cool. And yeah, it was just awesome having, we all camped together at the showgrounds there, had a big campfire together, a big family cook up. And yeah, it was just a great time. But yeah, I mean, that's just one example of many awesome things we've done as a club this year.
Yeah, completely agree. And it's been a massive year for Australian athletics, hasn't it? You're talking off here about this fondness for Jess Hull athletically, running wise. What do you make of her year?
Oh, I think that her performance in the 1500 meter final at Paris was just spectacular, right? Yeah, the number of times I've had to rewatch that was just, yeah, so good to watch. But yeah, I mean, we've had a few great performances this year, but that one's, yeah, unreal.
Yeah, 100%. What do you make of that, Kyle? Three pretty big things there.
Yeah, it's a good year, very good year. I reckon for me, if I go my personal one, I like in like the individual race, I definitely go like my marathon PB was this year, and I was thinking about it recently. I think that's the only PB I've run for like a couple of years now, so I need to probably go back and try and get those shorter ones at some point. But yeah, I'd say Gold Coast this year for me, that was the 2:31. That was kind of the day that kind of it somewhat came together. I thought it was going to come together perfectly until about 36K, and then it didn't come together perfectly. But to still get a PB, I was very, very happy with that. And that kind of flows into the next side about like the group and things that, as far as that day, that was definitely a highlight for me because most of the people that I train with, we built all training together for that race for, months leading up to it. And pretty much everyone PB'd that day from the group. So, like, and ran pretty decent PBs. So it was kind of obviously exciting to come across the line. But then I probably spent the next 10 minutes just hanging around, making a nuisance of myself near the finish line, getting told to continue to move on, just waiting for people to come through and to kind of get to celebrate those PBs with people that you've kind of done every single long run and session with for months in the dark. It was a pretty cool feeling. So that definitely felt like it was a highlight day. And look, that was probably the same thing I would have said for the year before as well. That's kind of a big highlight for us. We all target it every year. And then yeah, like as far as my athlete, like my moment of the year, like again, there's the big ones that you guys will go into that most people will know about, but I'm going to give you one that's a bit left field that I don't know if many of your listeners will have followed or be aware of, but there's a style of racing called backyard ultras or last one standing races, and I'm sure you guys would have heard of these at some point or someone's brought it up. But following along this year, they have what's called like the satellite championships, where it's country versus country. And Australia's been kind of getting better and better at these. And the way that this works is you've got to have two people left in your country to continue going. And basically, we were in third. The US was in second. We've never beaten the US. Their team finished. And then our last two runners had to go for another kind of 8 to 10 hours with just the two of them left to try and pass the US for second. And they managed to actually pass them by 1 point and ended up, then our last runner kind of continued on. And that was the first one we've ever beaten the US in one of these races. And for us watching it, like it's an event that like it went for over 4 days, it went for like 5 days, this event. You're kind of spectating it for days and days and just watching this little spreadsheet kind of tick along, and to kind of see that come down to the last couple of hours and Australia come second in this world championship was very cool. So very different to, I suppose, the other typical type of racing we talk about, but that was a really cool kind of thing to follow. And I think that type of racing is going to gain a lot of popularity over the next 5, 10 years, and that kind of championships is going to become very, very popular. But very cool moment for me.
That's awesome, mate. Great to hear the recap. For me personally, it's been an interesting year, actually. I've run no PBs, so I've had a probably my worst injury sort of year, had a bad back all year, and ironically run the most amount of kilometers. So I'm proud of that. It's ironic that I've run no PBs with extra mileage, but it doesn't always result in PBs, does it? The mileage. And for me, it's actually showed me that probably the most important thing about running, or that I enjoy, is group running and connections out there. And I put a bit of a recap actually up on Instagram today. It just got me so nostalgic about the year. I'm not sure if you guys had seen that online. And I guess I'm lucky by the fact that I like to take photos, and they were there ready to be used for a bit of a 1 minute montage of the year. And it just reminded me of how important people are out there in connection and keeping you motivated with your goals. And that obviously leads into my running group achievement that I enjoyed this year was the joining of the Turkeys, and what a wonderful group they are, and the people that are a part of that group. And for me, Australian running wise, yeah, huge year. But Andy Buchanan stands out to me because he came on this very podcast after the Hamburg Marathon. And you may recall, fellas, he PB'd that. And I think he went into sort of the seventh fastest from memory Australian marathon of all time. But he missed out on the Olympic standard to make it. And then we may have spoken about this actually last episode very fleetingly, but then got put in for Brett Robinson with an injury to Brett after all that. So bittersweet. And then, of course, his most recent Australian marathon record. And I followed him all the way on the Valencia app. And it's awesome to follow athletes through there, not visually seeing them, but just tracking their progress and sort of trying to work out how they're feeling without having any kind of image of them. So that was awesome to see for me. But agree, the Jess Hull silver thing is huge. And both those things you guys mentioned, I agree with. One thing that stood out for me actually, and it only has come in the last few hours, was from the Sunshine Coast Marathon event itself, but they had mentioned pretty much an announcement. And this is, I guess, Sunshine Coast Marathon aren't a bigger organization like the Olympics or the news who may announce this more profoundly, but the 2032 Olympics, the marathon is going to take place by the looks of it at the Sunshine Coast. And of course, the Olympics are in Brisbane, so to speak. We know that Olympics in cities and capital cities don't always take place, the events in the boundaries of the city, so to speak, do they? But I was kind of hoping that it was going to be in Brisbane just to showcase what Brisbane is. I know Brisbane, for a lot of people who live here, even tourists, don't think it's the most exciting place to be. But yeah, why not go back to the 1982 Commonwealth Games marathon route and run along the Coronation Drive down to St. Lucia, back to Kingston Smith Drive, they used as well, where Deeks had run an amazing race back then. I thought it'd be a nice opportunity to do that. At the same time, we know the Sunny Coast and Gold Coast too, Kyle, are a host to amazing events in Gold Coast a little bit more largely and more historically, I guess, so to speak, with that as well. So, yeah, interested to see what you guys thought here. And before I head to Clive, I put a question out on Instagram this afternoon asking people what they thought of this announcement, yes or no, to Sunny Coast. What do you think they went with? Do they agree with that decision or not?
Well, I happen to know the answer because I voted myself this afternoon.
I'm going to
Okay.
guess, I haven't seen it. I'm going to guess they said yes. I'm going to guess they're happy about it.
So it's only come through from about 30 people, but 81% are saying that they agree with Sunny Coast. So I find that very interesting. I'm not going to sit here saying I completely disagree. I'm just happy that it's happening first and foremost in this country and on the sunny coast, but I would love to have seen it in Brisbane. My pros there are, I just think if we decide on what the stadium's going to look like and where it's going to be, I'd love for it to have finished in the stadium. And what I mentioned earlier about the course, I do completely understand about location, though, that the Gold Coast is very fast and both locations are on the coast themselves, aren't they? So that's an attraction in itself, isn't it? What do you think, Love?
Yeah, I agree. Excuse me. I agree with everything you're saying about it. It could be very cool to have an event in Brisbane and, follow a similar course to what Deeks ran in the 82 Comm Games. Yeah, that's obviously iconic. And, anyone who was around back then and watched it, obviously, it was a big deal for them at the time. But then again, I think Sunny Coast, their half marathon course is awesome. I love it. And it sounds like they're getting rid of the old three-lap marathon course now and extending up to Twin Waters where you are at the moment, I think, Ollie. So I'd like to think extending the course so it's an out and back is going to make it a lot more exciting as a marathon course. And if it's anything like they've made the half marathon course, it could be, yeah, could be a really spectacular event.
Carl, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, like you said, the thing about it's like, have they tried to go with like a fast course where they're going to get times? Because I'm like, you could make a really interesting course in Brisbane, like just with the bridges, some hills. Like you could make a really like similar to Paris. Like Paris was not a fast course, and it was way more enjoyable to watch a race, especially in a championship race where it wasn't just a bit of a time trial. Everyone kind of sat together, and then, you know, it was a kick down the last 5, 6K. I would have loved to have seen them kind of make a course, like a tough course around Brisbane, around the river, would have been really cool. But at the same time, you can understand why they've chucked it on the coast. Like the scenery, the shots they're going to get, it's going to look spectacular. Like, you know, the best runners in the world flying down the coastline over the beaches, like same as what we see every year, but from Sunny Coast and Gold Coast when the footage comes out. So I can definitely understand why they've gone that way. But, and logistically, like there's a course there ready to go. They kind of know the streets that work, how that's going to function. And I suppose good crowd access along the beach as well. But yeah, I think it's exciting. I'll definitely be trying to get there to follow it. Got plenty of time to plan for that, but it's
Yeah,
good.
I'm looking forward to seeing what the course is going to look like. As Clive alluded to, like if it goes up as far as where I am right now, Twin Waters, that's exciting because it just extends it a bit more in terms of those flatter, longer roads. Like there's only one road, of course, that they're going to go over. That's the bridge over the Maroochydore River to get up over this side, and that's an amazing spot to be running in. But I think p people are often so quick to assume, well, it's going to be like the Sunny Coast Marathon course. It's going to be like the Gold Coast course. There's still flexibility in that as to where they're going to go at Sunny Coast. It'll be interesting to see how that sort of pans out. But yeah, at least it's down here and very much looking forward to that. But let's get to the training weeks. Hey, we've, as I said, we sit here on the 30th of December. So we've got 2 weeks behind us, just over 2 weeks since our last episode. And a lot's happened. Of course, Christmas has happened through that point. So I'd love to hear how you've both sort of worked around that Christmas time. Like, I know that you guys are committed and you're not going to let a Christmas day get in the way of training, but you're both family men as well. So let's start with Clive. It's a, what day is it again, boys? Monday? Yeah, Monday. Let's head back all the way to the start of 2 weeks ago, Clive, for you.
So that's Monday 16th.
Yeah, that would be.
Yeah. All right. Monday 16th. Okay. So Monday 16th, 50-minute recovery run. Tuesday. So this week was going to be one of my, well, was going to be my first key marathon workout on the Sunday. So I wanted to make the purpose of the week just getting prepared to run my best possible marathon session. And I didn't want to do too much that week. So Tuesday, I actually did a bit of a lighter session. I ran about 80 minutes at threshold and then joined the bush turkeys for a couple of hill repeats. Wednesday, gym session after a 30-minute ride on the indoor trainer. Thursday, I did a, what do I do? An hour 20 on the indoor trainer in the morning and then a 30-minute run in the afternoon. Friday, missed my gym session, and then I did a hour and a half just just an endurance run. Saturday, 50-minute recovery run. Sunday, did the marathon workout. So I'd actually messaged Kyle throughout the week to get some tips on trying to nail this marathon heart rate. And so it was a 30-minute warm-up into 4x4K at marathon heart rate with a 1K float. And I wanted to keep the floats reasonably fast. I just wanted to get control of the heart rate again before going to the next float rather than having a proper into the next rep rather than having a proper recovery. And I started out the first 4K around 170 to 172 beats, knowing my threshold is around 182, 181 to 183. I sort of worked around that 95% of progressively allowed the heart rate to get up throughout the reps. So rep number two, I tried to stick to that that 174, 173, 174, which is about 95% of threshold. Then the third 4K rep was getting like it was creeping up 175 to 178 beats. And then the last rep, I basically got to threshold. It sort of sat around threshold. And the last 2K, I was feeling really good. I was pretty pumped. I ended up sort of dropping the hammer a bit and got down to 325s. Heart rate was well above threshold, but I figured, it's, I've done the work, a couple of K above goal effort's probably not a bad thing. And then, finished off the run with another 30 minutes. And yeah, so that was a 2 hour 10 run, 33K all up. Very happy with that. Did you want me to go keep going into the next week or
Yeah,
should
no,
we
let's do
pass
that. Can
Kyle
I
to
just
the next?
add, Kyle, I'm not sure if you've got his Strava up, but Clive's what floating at pretty much 4 minute Ks or sub, and then there's a couple 4 minute Ks in the 6 or 7K after all that work. So yeah, it's pretty good workout, eh?
Moving very well. And I noticed in the video you're in the Alpha Fly ones, Clive. I was actually, is that what you're in there? I was trying to look at the video
Yes.
before.
Oh, yep.
How my question was, how do you still have a pair that's got K's left in them? And that's something you've been hanging on to for a while.
Yeah,
Because I wish I had a pair of those still.
until I got the AlphaFly 3s, they were my go-to for marathon workouts and marathon racing and half marathon racing. And I managed to get a pair of new ones on StockX maybe a year ago. So I've basically got two pairs, same color, and they've both got less than 200K in them.
Oh, that is good. That is very
Yes.
good. I'm a bit jealous.
But I'll be rolling the threes for Osaka. What are you gonna wear?
I bought a fresh th pair of threes that I was going to wear for GC50, but didn't get to use them. So I think I've done like one session in them. So I
Okay,
was in the
cool.
threes for Gold Coast this year. So I've got a fresh pair ready to go that I haven't worn really worn yet. So that will be my shoe of choice.
Excellent.
All right, let's roll along.
I'll
Week
keep
two.
going into next week or
Let's do
yep,
it.
all right. So Monday I did an hour recovery. Tuesday. Oh, so this week, the purpose of this week was to really start to get the volume up. Ever since I had that bit of a scare 6, 7 weeks or 8 weeks ago now, I'd kind of been quite conservative with building up the load and I was periodically taking training sessions out of my training weeks just because I was a little bit fearful. Had a bit of paranoia about there being, a potential bone stress injury. And I'm at a point now where I'm not really feeling the symptoms anymore. And I've kind of decided I've just got to get on with training for Osaka Marathon and as though I don't have a bone stress injury and stop worrying about it. So I decided this week, let's just back off the intensity, make it a big volume week and get the volume up. So I did, I didn't do a workout on Tuesday. I ran with the bush turkeys and ran with a few of the girls when they did the Deeks quarter session. So that was pretty fun. An hour 20. Then I did a gym session and a 30-minute double in the afternoon. Wednesday was Christmas, so I normally have a rest day on Thursdays. I moved Wednesday to a rest day and just enjoyed Christmas with the family.
Oh, smart.
Thursday, yes. Thursday, I did a medium long run, hour 40. I spent the first 50 minutes of that with Ricky, so a bit of a holiday run together, which was nice. Friday, Thursday night, drove up to Nambour, stayed with my brother. Then, did an 80-minute run up in Nambour, and I chucked on 8 hill sprints and 8 strides at the end of that. Saturday, 30-minute run in the morning, followed by a gym session, 50-minute run in the afternoon. And then sun touched on earlier, 2 laps around Mount Cutha. So 2 hour, 2.5 hours all up, 30K all up, 800 meters elevation. Definitely not the kind of workout you should be doing 8 weeks out from a cycle marathon, I would say, but it was a lot of fun. And we do it every year around Christmas, New Year's time. So I was happy to let it slide on Christmas week.
And why do you say that,
It was
mate?
that
The
one
elevation
hill in
or?
a cycle climb, so you'll be ready to hit that at 32K. Just watch out for that hill. You'll be ready
Yeah.
to
Well, I think I'm pretty hill fit, so I should be
go.
right.
Yeah, I just mentioned there might have cut out, Clive, but yeah, what were your thoughts on the Mount Cutha run being not well versed for the Osaka Marathon? Just too much right now, elevation, workload, all that kind of stuff.
I think, 12 weeks out or longer would have been fine. Probably 8 weeks out, the time you need to start getting a bit more race specific. I just think all that climbing probably isn't really conditioning yourself for the demands of a marathon. But I don't think it's really going to hurt me. Perhaps could have made a better use of my Sunday long run
Yeah, I see
if
that
I
for
was a bit
sure.
more obsessive.
My internet connection isn't great
Again,
here, gentlemen,
it's
and I just sort of cut out
That's okay.
Kyle. So yeah, go ahead, mate.
No, I was just going to say, I reckon those long runs every now and again aren't the worst thing in that marathon block. Like, especially if you're not going to do like a specific marathon session. I reckon that, again, obviously there's a point where you probably don't want to go too steep, but I reckon a couple of those to really condition your quads, especially, is not the worst idea to kind of have in that block, especially like 2 months out. We've still got ages, we've got heaps of time. I actually don't think that's bad at all for you to put in. I think that's a good long run.
Yeah, do you think
Yeah, true.
sometimes
I
we
guess
don't you go,
getting used
Clive?
to your quads burning. So, oh yeah, I was just saying, good point from Kyle that it's not going to hurt just getting conditioned to your quads burning the last 10K of a marathon and having to push through. Not a bad thing.
No, agreed. I think
Definitely.
there's a bit of a lag here, gents, so we'll just work with it. Yeah, I still see merit in I think sometimes runners are afraid to do the hills when they're running flat. Like it's like cycling too. Like if you're cycling in flat races, you generally cycle up hills to get faster on the flats. So I think there's benefit in doing hills for flats too. But also agree that if we want very specific training, maybe something there could have been a little bit more different. Any other questions there, Kyle, for Clive?
No, I was just going to ask as well, Clive, like, do you have a plan as far as your next kind of, let's say, 6 weeks or so, what you want your volume to be? Are you going to kind of go any higher? Are you going to sit to kind of where you were this week, or what are you thinking?
I think I'll build. So I did 125 last week. This week is gonna. I'm doing another marathon session. So there's a fair bit of intensity in that. I'll probably end up doing a little bit less in terms of total volume. And I'll get to somewhere around 110 to 115K, I reckon. And I reckon between now and the last 3 weeks, I'll sort of build to between 120, 130K a week and try and consistently maintain that. Apart from I'll have one down week in that period too, but the rest of that should be probably around the 130K mark, 120 ideally.
So is that
Yeah, is that what you're sort of
124K?
thinking? Yeah, 124, 125 last week.
Yeah, same as Cole,
This
I
week will
believe.
be about 110 to 115. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think I was just thinking that actually. I think my week was or maybe 1K less, quite similar this week. But yeah, I reckon like we're talking before you came on, like I reckon I hit just over 140 before Gold Coast this year, which felt all right. So I'm like, I'll see how I kind of go over the next couple of weeks, whether I toy with going a little bit higher, or again, probably just depends on how I'm feeling, but potentially that little bit higher, but not sure yet. We'll see.
Yeah, cool. I think I did a couple of weeks at 140 leading into Gold Coast last year, and that seemed to go all right. I guess just with this the paranoia of the bone stress and the recent scare, I've been a little bit frightened to step things up too much, but I guess we'll see how the next 4 weeks plays out.
That's fair enough too.
Very good. And hopefully the weather continues to be a little less humid, but it's still hot around these areas, but hopefully humidity stays a bit lower. How's your running been, Kyle? How's the weather been too down there?
Yeah, much the same down here. Some of the runs we've done, I feel like we had in the middle had a nice patch of weather where the mornings were a little bit cooler around Christmas, but the last couple of days it's definitely back and very, very warm. But it's this time of year. I don't think I expect any different. It seems like I'm getting hundreds of just sweating emojis and people whinging how hot it is, but I feel like it's the same every year, and we're all in it together. Everyone's got to do it. It's not just that person. So I always have a laugh about it on my podcast with Tom, that's my little gripe of every summer. It's just everyone telling me how hot it is and giving me humidity readings, and telling I basically can delete my weather app and just open Strava, and everyone tells me how hot it is. But no, it's been warm as expected. But I also on my weather app I've got the Gold Coast and then a Saka below it, and pretty much every time I've opened that, there's about at least 20 to 25 degrees difference at the same time of day. So I'm like, that's just when we get to Osaka hot here. I started off my normal Monday morning, took the group out into the forest in Narang. We just jog around for an hour, which was good. Tuesday, we did 3K, 2K, 2x1K. And I think I ran 3:28s for the 19 for the 1K. So again, another session where I'm just kind of like building back in. Wasn't anything kind of spectacular in that one, but kind of felt like I was starting to move a little bit better. Hip was okay on that one, which was good. And then yeah, the next day was another one of those warm mornings. Did 20K just over 90 minutes with Rini and Marty. And I was suffering by the end of this. I don't know if it was just one of those mornings where you're just not feeling great, but got to the end of that and was ready to have a little lay down. Jogged, did 14 Ks on the Thursday, and then Friday did 3x3K. And I ran this one with Rini again, who's going to be in Osaka with us. And we ran 3:32, 3:31, 3:32, according to my watch. We realized halfway through the session she had her watch on treadmill from a previous run, and hers was coming out about 5 seconds a K faster than mine. We couldn't work out which one we were going off, and we're like, oh, we'll just take yours because yours is the faster one. But turns out she was on treadmill mode, so we're gonna have to take my slower splits for that one, but that's all right. And then yeah, next day just did I actually funnily enough this day on this Saturday I did my first ever treadmill run. I reckon it's been like 8 years since I've done a treadmill run. Then I didn't get out in the morning. My daughter had been up and I slept in for an extra hour or so, and then I was at work. It just around lunchtime I was like, right, I took some clothes because I'm like, if I have a gap here I'm gonna jump on the treadmill. So I jumped on and did 40 minutes, and it was terrible. Like I can see why I haven't done it for 8 years. It was horrible. I didn't enjoy a single bit of it. So I will not be heading back to the treadmill anytime soon unless I absolutely had to. But there was a fan on me and it was much cooler than it was outside at lunchtime. So did 8.5 K, I think, on the treadmill. That was plenty. And then yeah, headed out Sunday with the group, 2.5 hours, did 33.33 kilometers, which was good. And yeah, it felt good. This was probably the best I'd felt in a while coming back from the bit of downtime I had. I kind of felt like I hydrated and fueled pretty well, and naturally just kind of we just picked up the pace a little bit towards the end. Probably went down to 4:15s or so for the last 10K. And yeah, kind of felt good. Felt like I could have kept running on that one, which was a nice feeling I hadn't had for a little while. So I think that week was I think I was about 120 Ks for the week. And then right at the end of the week to actually get me to the 120, we had our annual North. So North is the other club that I've run for years. We had our annual beer mile, which we normally do at the end of the year close to Christmas. So it actually gets quite competitive at our beer miles, and we warm up and everyone's trying to beat their PBs and move up the leaderboard from the year before. But I ran 6:50, which I thought was pretty good. I came second. I still didn't win. I've come second the last 3 years, but I was pretty happy with the 6:50 for my, it wasn't a PB. I ran 6:37 last year. So I went back and looked at my run time versus beer drinking time, and I was only 1 second slower on the run time, but I think I was about 12 seconds slower on the beer drinking time. So that was a bit disappointing for the end of that week, but always a fun little event for us
But
to.
also you'd run
I
33K
had
that morning
run
too.
33K that morning. That probably didn't help as well. But I was well warmed up, and I was quite I'd hide rehydrated very well off the back of the long run, but maybe too much that I wasn't overly thirsty for the beer mile. But that was always good fun. And so yeah, tick that off. On the Sunday afternoon, yeah, that was hot too. I think we started at like just before 4 o'clock. And I kind of was driving there going like, I'm really thirsty, but I don't want to drink too much on the way here because I'm gonna have to drink 4 beers in a 20 minutes time. So kind of held off on that. But yeah, that was my first week. And then we've got this week. Where are we? Let me get back to this week. So yeah, started off with the normal group on the Monday morning. That was our 300th Monday morning run. I kind of posted. That was cool. Been doing that run for a long time, hosting that group. And then got out for a double in the afternoon, did 40 minutes around home, kind of 2:30 in the afternoon, another nice warm hilly run. But that was good. Tick that off. Tuesday morning, we did a kind of fartlek session, like 2 minute on minute float. So we're probably running the 2 minutes, kind of low 320s, floating at about 4 minutes, 405 pace for that one. And felt pretty strong on that, which was good. And then ticked off. I know I didn't run Christmas. Again, just family, didn't really get heaps of time. So I did 24K on the Thursday. We did our hilly tempo loop on the Friday, which we called the Boston Loop. So 10Ks with like 115 meters elevation. I think I ran like 339, 340s for that loop, which was good. Jog Saturday and then ticked off 35Ks yesterday. So that gave me 124, 123, whatever it was, 123Ks for the week. So things are ticking along in the right direction, which was good.
Mate, since end of November, 20K you had that week, then 72K first week of December, then 100K, 101 to be precise,
It's been
120,
aggressive,
and then
I know. It's been
124.
very aggressive.
So that progression is very, very nice. We spoke off air about where you're going to max out at, and you just asked Clive about it. But how about yourself, Kyle? What are you going to hit in terms of the highest mileage before the Osaka Marathon?
8 weeks today. I'm
Less
pretty sure it's
seven.
8 weeks today. Is it 8 weeks today? Clive, I'm sure it's 8 weeks today anyway. It's around that. So I think I've probably got like 6 weeks where the volume will stay pretty higher. I'm normally pretty happy with like a 2 week taper. I feel like I recovered pretty quickly. But that'll depend on how I'm feeling. But I reckon I will try to get in the mid 140s. It just comes down to like what time I've got available around work and life and stuff to kind of fit stuff in, but still recover from it. So, like I said before, I think I got up to like 141, 142 before Gold Coast, and that felt pretty good. Like I felt like I handled that well. So we'll kind of just see how everything kind of unfolds. But I'm pretty happy to try and go 140, whether I can get to 150. It probably just comes down to time more than anything. But I feel like that's enough volume that I can run well off, and I felt the difference. I think even to leading into Berlin and Gold Coast last year, I probably only was average. I think the 8 weeks between like 10 weeks out and 2 weeks out, I only averaged like maybe 115 before Gold Coast, and then maybe like 125 or something before Berlin, or maybe even less than that, and still ran both of them at 232. And then I was a bit higher for Gold Coast this year and definitely noticed the difference. So feel like if I can spend the next 6 weeks up a little bit higher, I'll be feeling pretty good.
Yeah, my next question to you, and last before Clive, I'm sure we'll ask a question or two, but just down there amongst the Gold Coast group you have and others, what's sort of the norm with mileage for the marathons? And we look away from Osaka, like, of course, the Gold Coast Marathon would be the most prominently attended. What are they running down there? 130, 40, 50, less? What are the lesser ones
Probably
the lowest?
less on average. Like I reckon depending on, again, depends who you're talking about. There's definitely individuals that run a lot more. But I feel like on average, like most of the group we're training with, like if most of those guys and girls are hitting anywhere from 100 to 115, 120, most of them can run really well kind of off that mileage. And again, you just got to be careful about how much people are doing when they're running history and what they're going to be able to handle. Because, in theory, yeah, the more you run, the probably better you're going to do. But you don't do good if you break before you get there. So it's that fine balance of wanting to run more. But you know, there's a couple that do run more than that, but I wouldn't say heaps. I wouldn't say we've got a bunch of people around that are running, you know, the 150, 160K weeks. They would be in the minority, the people running those kind of volumes around here anyway.
Yep, fair enough. Clive?
Yeah, I guess the most important question. A couple of weeks ago, you had the hip flare up. That's starting to settle, and you're on top of that now, I take it.
Yeah, it's the hip joint itself's much better. Like I'm kind of just getting the secondary, like adductor tendons tightness and stuff that's kind of flared up around it. So it's at the point now where like it's still there, but it'll warm up pretty quickly on runs, and I'm like running reasonably freely. Like I think the sessions, like the hilly one that I did this week was a little bit uncomfortable on the downs, but I knew that was going to be the case. But the Tuesday session we did that fartlek was the first session where I actually just felt like I could run. Like completely, I wasn't thinking about it at all. Kind of felt like I was running freely again for the first time. So I'm hoping that if that can kind of make continue, it'll be back to that typical just kind of tendon pattern where, you know, the first 5, 10 minutes of a warm-up's a bit rubbish and then it warms up and feels pretty good. And then I might feel it a bit after I stop and cool down, but nothing that's really affecting the training. And it's still been getting better kind of week on week, even though the mileage has gone up. So at this stage, definitely trending in the right direction, which is good.
Excellent. I had another question, and I've forgotten it.
While I think
Oh
about it,
yeah,
I had one. Oh, you
are you
go for it.
doing the sorry, are you doing any strength and conditioning?
Yeah, I've like
Yeah, good.
notoriously, I'm not great at fitting that stuff in, which is not good as a physio. I tell people to do as I say, not as I do, because I'm pretty hopeless at doing stuff. But I've been doing a bit more stuff like the last couple of months, just since my hip's been an issue. There's just things that I'm doing kind of specific to that that I've been trying to incorporate. Obviously, I've got a bit more of an extensive warm-up routine, trying to keep everything happy. Kind of for the runs themselves. And then there's just a bit of other stuff I've been doing, probably trying to fit in at work around seeing people a couple of times a week, just around some strength. Nothing super heavy or anything at the moment, only because I haven't been doing a lot of heavy lifting. So I didn't want to chuck all that in, obviously, leading into this build. But it's something I probably need to get better at doing more of. But again, it's just a time and prioritizing it a little bit more. But yeah, more specific stuff for the hip at the moment.
Yeah. It's the first thing to go when you get time poor, isn't
Yep, absolutely. It's
it?
it, which again, not good when I tell people all day, every day what they need to be doing, and I'm out there
Yeah.
doing the complete opposite. But anyway, that's a whole nother conversation. But yes, I am doing some stuff at the moment.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, Kyle, the other question I had thought of was just leading into the marathon, those big Sunday workouts, like you can't just sort of go into one big workout, can you? Sort of 4, 3 weeks out, you've got to have some kind of progression there, don't you? So, yeah, what's the session you're thinking of that's going to really cap everything off, and how are you going to prepare for that physically and mentally out there in the heat?
Yeah, so normally we'll still start building in just like a little bit of marathon effort into the long runs, but again, this is the difference between doing this in summer. So on the, even on Sunday,
Yeah,
just gone
exactly.
yesterday, the plan was to probably do even just like 15 minutes of kind of more marathon pickup kind of effort towards the end. But just with how warm it was, like I was struggling to keep myself cool. Like my heart rate was at marathon heart rate just running towards the end of that run. So like it was kind of pointless for me to try and pick it up. Like me just getting to the end of that run felt like I was doing a marathon session at the moment. So normally it'll be we'll just kind of build in that kind of like, you know, 15 minutes of marathon work, 20 minutes of marathon work. And then last the block this year leading up to Gold Coast was probably the one where we focused on more just continuous running at faster speeds in the long runs. And the session we did before Gold Coast, and Rennie did it again before she ran well in Japan, was we do 90 minutes into our long run, and then we do 40 minutes at marathon pace. And then we do 5 minute jog and then 2 by 5 minutes faster, like kind of closer to half marathon pace at the end of it. And that was a session that, you know, on paper doesn't sound like anything crazy, but we would just go straight from the 90 minutes straight into the 40 minute effort. And then to kick that home with like 2 5 minute efforts faster. I think before Gold Coast, I did that session and I kind of ran the like around that kind of 3:32, 3:33 pace for the 40 minutes. And then I think I ran like 3:23, 3:25s for the 2 5-minute efforts. And by that point, you're kind of like 33 to 35K into the long run. So to kind of look down and still be seeing that you're running sub 3:30 when you're 35Ks deep into a run was a pretty good confidence boost. So I kind of enjoyed those more like kind of longer grindy sessions only because that's the only type of session I feel like I actually get a feel of that last 10K of the marathon. Like I've done plenty of, the 4x5K and those ones, but I don't finish them feeling like I'm 35Ks in all marathon. That still feels like if I did that, after an hour of running, I would probably get to that feeling. But the way we've done it in the past with just like an extended warm up, say half an hour, 4x5K, I finish that and like as Clive said in his session, you kind of feel good on the last rep. Like I've always done that session and kind of kicked it home and finished feeling really good. But that's never what that's felt like in the marathon. Like I get to 35K in the marathon, I'm like, oh, that session was a piece of cake compared with what this last 5, 6, 7K is like. Whereas those sessions at the end of long runs, I feel like I get even those like 2 by 5 minutes. Like it's not long, but that's when I'm doing that float in between the 2 by 5 minutes going, I really don't want to do this last 5 minutes. Like this feels like I'm about 35Ks in a marathon. And just like mentally to tick off, like, right, I'm going to work hard. It's only 5 minutes, but I'm just going to work hard at the end here. Like, and it just replicates that feeling perfectly. So if I can tick off one or two of those runs where I'm deep into a long run and still feeling like I can run strong, like I don't think the paces will be like what they were before Gold Coast, but I know the feeling of what that needs to feel like at the end of those long runs. And I'm like, if I can tick a couple of those off, finishing feeling like I'm running strong and like keeping my heart rate in check, like I'll feel like I'm ready to go regardless of what the paces are.
Yeah, it had me thinking, Clive, as well, and as well as you, Kyle, that about that maximum mileage you should be doing before the event itself, whether that a half, 10K even, or a marathon. Like I've always had this at least bare minimum half kind of a rule, where you're at least running 20K in preparation at marathon pace for a marathon, and at least running 10K for a half, for example, and ideally, if possible, to run more than that, particularly more so for the half. Have you guys got any theories there?
Yeah, I guess the rule of specificity, right? The best way to train for a marathon is to run a marathon, and obviously, if load and injury wasn't an issue, that's what you'd be doing. But obviously, that's not the case, so we've got to chop it up a bit. So it sounds like Kyle's sort of similar to myself, and the way to go is long durations at marathon intensity as much as you can handle is the best way to get marathon fit. And in the past, I've sort of progressed to 3 by 7K being the ultimate marathon session. So 21K with 1K fast float between. This time around, I was looking at doing maybe a slightly longer session, maybe 22, 23K all up. But again, because of the summer heat, thinking I'll probably stick to that 3 by 7K and keep it a fast float just to get the heart rate back down.
Yeah, I think we were because I was just thinking before Rini went over to Japan, which wasn't that long ago, like it was still pretty warm. We did 25K at kind of like 95% marathon pace. So we really like for her, we ran that session at say 3:47s, 3:48s. So it's just like a continuous steady run. So I reckon even something like that, but again, it just comes down to how hot it gets, whether we need to break that up or not. Cause then it kind of just turns into the 3 by 7K with a K float. It's kind of a similar session to that, but it was just that more kind of controlled, sustained effort where you don't feel like you're going. So I reckon as soon as we try and hit like marathon pace or even heart rate, it's just I think heart rate's still gonna kind of fluctuate. We're gonna struggle to keep that down. I reckon it's just gonna like if we spend more than 40, 45 minutes at that heart rate, it's just gonna spike. I reckon we're gonna struggle to keep it there. So it's just gonna be this fine balance of like, what are we gonna do to spend as much time at that right effort without just absolutely cooking ourselves, which we'll almost have to make that call on the fly, I reckon, rather than planning it.
Yeah, I've just wondered in more recent years if there's like a potential to run that last workout longer with the super shoes, that is. As in, like, why aren't we running sort of 25 plus kilometers in training? And like the main issue is that, as Clive alluded to, it's a big loading and risk of injury. But do you think there's some kind of potential moving forward that athletes can do that? Like, we get a lot out of set, we can do a lot out of sessions running way shorter and way faster, and also running a fair bit longer and slower too, can't we, to get the same kind of benefit from both ends to hit that. But is there a possibility there?
I think, well, to Kyle's point earlier about doing just those long, steady state long runs where you're not quite at marathon pace, you're maybe 20 seconds slower than marathon pace. If you just bang a heap of them together over a few months, that's going to get you pretty marathon strong. And then you chuck in a bit of work at marathon pace. I don't know if we have to do an enormous amount more than what we're already doing at marathon pace to get the result.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
think
I
the other
think.
thing with that, I was going to say, Club, as well, it depends on like for people listening, like where your marathon pace sits. Because for the majority of the people out there, like running a marathon in itself without like slowing down is a challenge rather than like running it hard. So I think there's a lot of people like once, like really for a lot of people that I reckon I see, once they're in that kind of like 3 hours 20 to 3 hours 30 bracket for a marathon, like a lot of them can run that pace reasonably comfortably and would almost sometimes do their long runs at marathon pace. So it's like, well, they're kind of doing marathon pace for like every single long run. It's just they just have to get strong enough to be able to hold it for the time. So there's almost just this point, I reckon, when you start to dip closer to like 3 hours and then sub 3 hours, where that pace is not an easy pace for people to hold. And then obviously the faster we go, we're probably in a boat where the pace we've got to run for a marathon is significantly faster than what we would run if we were to just go out for even like a steady run or pushing a bit harder. So like those sessions for people running, 2:30 or faster, or even 2:40, 2:45, are going to look very different to someone if they're listening that's going to be running, a 3:10, 3:20 marathon. So you almost just got to be able to like go, right, what pace are we actually trying to run here? But for the person, because that's such a different, I suppose. If I always say to people, for people that are out there running like a 3:45, 3 or 4 hour marathon, they don't need to look at what people that are running 2:30 are doing, because if I had to run for 4 hours, I wouldn't be doing the same type of sessions I'm doing right now if I was training for a 4 hour race. So it's almost like we almost just got to look at like how much should we time are we trying to spend running, and what kind of effort and what type of training is needed to be able to do that. Because again, a lot of people listening to this stuff and a lot of people that listen to podcasts for the marathoning aren't running 2:30, they're running, 3:45, 4 hours, and the training is almost completely different for those type of people. So it's a tricky one to answer exactly. Like we're obviously just answering it for us with what we're running, but it's different for everyone.
Yeah, it's so easy to be biased to towards yourself and athletes out there running similar levels, hey. Anyways, let's move
Definitely.
along before we talk too long about this topic. And that's nutrition we want to get to, as we spoken about last episode. And I want to hear from you guys about nutrition at the moment out there in the heat. And I see hydration a big part of the concept and topic of nutrition. So if you want to go there with any kind of not measurements of the water you take, but if you've got some kind of rough rule at the moment with what you're taking before, during, and after workouts, and then also, of course, the nutrition itself in terms of food and also energy gels or drinks that you're going to be taking out there for Osaka, if we started with Clive. In terms of hydration, I don't really have any rules as to how much to take on when I train. I guess I just try and stay well hydrated beforehand, hydrate after, and where it's practical, hydrate as much as possible during. With the nutrition during training, like I'm big on trying to get the gut and the body conditioned to taking on as much fuel as possible. I know the more carbs I can take on while I'm running at marathon pace during the marathon, that's the more energy I'm going to have in that last 10K where it really matters. So all my long runs now, I'm trying to chug down like a 90 gram bag of Precision, as well as a second 30 gram gel. So I'm switching between the standard gels and the Precision Flow gels. And I think on race day, I'd be interested to hear what you're using, Kyle, or what you're thinking about using, but I'm looking at using the Precision Flow gel, pouring it into a flask. The flask will tell you just fill it to the line that you want for the amount of carbs you want. And yeah, basically take on the carbs from just the one flask throughout the whole run. So I've experimented with that over a couple of runs now. I'm just finding the nozzle that comes with the Precision Flow gel a little bit hard to get the gel out. Like I feel like I'm applying a lot of suction, and if I'm trying to do that at marathon pace, it's kind of like wasting energy. So I might need to look at a different vessel for carrying the fuel. But yeah, generally every long run and every marathon session between now and race day, I'm really trying to think about fueling. The day before, I'm trying to take on carbs and almost do like a mini carb load, especially on those key sessions. I guess the rest of the week it's just standard nutrition. Yeah, any questions there, Kyle?
No, I think that's summarized it well. I think, like I said, there's only so many variables we can play with this stuff. There's only so many combinations of it. I think the question I suppose I have for you, Clive, are you just because this is not a race where we're going to have like bottles on the course, or I don't know if you've got anyone that you're going to have there to hand you anything or anything like that. Are you going to try and carry like everything you need on you? You're going to carry liquid as well, or are you just going to rely on like the course nutrition?
So I'm going to carry that precision flask at this stage. That's what I'm thinking, and that'll have all of my carbs in one. Apart from the, I'll have like a caffeinated gel or two as well, but all the carbs I need will just be in one flask, basically, and I'll carry it with me for the whole run. And I'll just get hydration from the general access aid stations. What are you thinking?
See, I'd for Gold Coast it was easy because we had bottles. So I just had Precision, the gel. I just had a couple of the 90 gram pouches on me, and then another gel. And I was probably going through. I probably ended up having about 95 grams an hour, which felt fine. So that like those, I found those pouches worked quite nicely for that because I just had to get through one of those an hour or just under an hour. But then I had my water and electrolytes on the bottles each hour, each table every 5K as well, which worked nicely because, and I was trying to keep that as separate as I could, just so I could kind of take as much liquid as I needed, but to keep that separate from the carbs. So I'm thinking I'm probably going to carry, like I suppose for what I do, if I go into that, I'm probably going to use same as what Clive is, the precision gels. That's what I've used the last couple of marathons. Well, the last marathon, it's worked quite well just with their 90 gram pouch. So I'll probably aim for about 90 to 95 grams an hour. And then, so perhaps just carry two pouches, and then I'll have one or two spare gels in the belt that I'll wear. And then I'm thinking I might even carry a little like 300. I've got one of those, I think it's about 300 mil kind of collapsible flasks, and have like my electrolytes in there, like quite condensed, that I can just kind of sip on with the gels and then just rely on the tables for water. Only just to make sure. I think Gold Coast, I had about 700 milligrams of sodium an hour, but it's probably because it's not going to be as hot. I'm probably not going to need quite as much. So I'm trying to toss up whether I'll keep some liquid and electrolytes on me, plus my gels, and then just rely on the tables for water. But if I miss tables, I've still got some liquid on me. I don't know, because then you've got to carry more stuff. So I'm a bit up in the air on exactly what I'm going to carry. But that's what I'm thinking at the moment anyway. But yeah, as far as around training, exactly what Clive said, day before, I'll try and have probably an electrolyte tablet in my drink bottle. The day before, you're eating pretty, I feel like I eat carb dense food all the time anyway, so that's not really a change for me, but just normal eating kind of leading into key sessions. And then I always know if I've fueled well on a long run because I feel great the rest of the day. Whereas if I have a long run where the next few hours I'm just like want to lay on the couch and do
Starving.
nothing, I'm like that was a nutrition and hydration issue. Oh yeah, I've stuffed that up. That was not good enough. So that's always my indication. I'll know by the time I finish the long run, yeah, I did not get that right, or I definitely needed more. But generally this time of year, it's more is better. I find that I can't overhydrate too much on these long runs. You're just kind of playing catch up.
Yeah, the hydration is so much different, isn't it? And like compared to winter, the long run, you can sort of run 20K in winter and hardly have a drink, but at the moment, once you pass 15K, even 10K, we stop it with, during the bush turkey long runs, don't we, Clive, at like even 7, 8K sometimes. So it's going to be very different to the weather in Osaka. Do you think the nutrition changes too with weather, with heat changes? It changes dramatically with water and hydration, but what about nutrition itself? If you're running the marathon right now versus in Osaka, how would that look differently for you guys? How about you, Clive?
Well, I suppose, we've been talking about this, sticking to marathon heart rate or marathon effort instead of going at your goal pace during training just because it's not realistic in summer. We're probably using an equivalent amount of calories and effort because we're backing off the intensity slightly, if that makes sense. So, yeah, I don't really think I have to change too much in terms of fueling between summer and Australian summer and Osaka winter.
I think the like as far as the I think the only thing that I know, there's people that I know that struggle a bit more in summer just getting the calories in, like just their stomach just isn't as settled when they're running in summer, so they struggle to get down as much. But I think like you need just as much. I don't think that changes, but I think some people just struggle to actually get it down and keep it down in summer, whereas in winter they tend to feel it sits quite well. I don't know, I don't feel like I've had too much difference between that. I think I still try to get the same amount of carbs in. We're obviously limited by how much we can digest, and that's obviously a bit variable between people, but the general rule used to be about 1 gram per kilo of body weight per hour, but there's a lot of people pushing that even higher now, and getting up around 100, 110 grams. So At the end of the day, if you can keep that in your stomach and keep it down, you can do that all year round. It just depends on how your stomach sits in summer.
Yeah, okay. Let's get to the few days or week prior to the run itself, boys. Do you have any habits or routines there that the carb loading we're talking about, and that's been a it's been spoken about for a long time, hasn't it? Runners doing it just the night before, runners doing it, say, 2 days out, some starting that almost five, if not more days. And we talk about carbs. There's sort of two different types of carbs, isn't there? The quick ones, which are the sweet ones, like more so like lollies, and then the slow acting carbs like rice and breads and that kind of thing. So, yeah, what are you going to do there for a Saka, Clive, or have you done in the past?
Well, typically for a Sunday marathon, I'll start the carb load on Thursday. I love snacks. I love carby snacks. I love bakery treats. I love lollies. I love junk food. So I find the carb loading process really easy. I really look forward to it, actually. But yeah, I basically just try and take on that 7 grams per kilogram body weight carbs per day. Have I got that right? Yeah, so and obviously back things off on the Saturday afternoon, so let the body settle and digest it all. And it being a Monday marathon, I'll probably do the same thing, just move everything back a day, start at Friday.
Yep, and you call.
Yeah, I'm kind of pretty similar. It's one of those ones, like if you look at the research with carb loads, like there's a bit of that support for going really low carb intake for a couple of days leading into that carb load to get more of effect. But I feel like I eat so many carbs every day that I'm like, I would really struggle to have a couple of days of not eating many carbs. Like, I mean, that'd be terrible. So I've never gone down that pathway. I feel like my carb intake's always really high, and then I just go even higher for a couple of days leading into the marathon. So I don't feel like I have to change a heap. I feel like I have a really high carb diet anyway, but exactly what Clive said, that kind of 2 to 3 days leading into it, you just make a conscious effort to be like, right, I just need to get more stuff down. And you do feel a bit rubbish that kind of day or so leading into it. You do feel a bit heavy and like you've eaten way too much, but it pays off on race day when you get it right. So it's pretty hard to overdo a carb load. Like the numbers of carbs you actually are supposed to get in is just crazy. So it's pretty hard to overdo. So it's actually kind of nice to have a free license to just eat as much as you like.
Fantastic, lads. I think we've learned and the listeners a lot through tonight's episode. You can go for so long with this, can't you? It's already been, I think, almost an hour. I think we'll finish with just the next week or so. We'll meet again in about 2 weeks. So that'll be the middle of January. What's the next 2 weeks look like for you guys, particularly around those marathon workouts and also those Tuesday sessions too, the faster stuff? How about you, Clive?
So this week I'm doing my second key marathon workout. And so instead of doing the traditional 4x5K, I'm going to do 2x5K at that goal marathon heart rate. And then I'm going to go into basically a 10K 10K at basically goal marathon pace. And I'm thinking I won't start off at goal marathon pace, but I'll work into it. So maybe start at more like the 340s, where I'm sitting kind of heart rate wise. And then I'll progress over a couple of K to that goal pace, and really sort of experience that fatigue, marathon fatigue towards the end of the marathon. I'm trying to simulate that feeling in that 10K effort. So yeah, doing a bit of an event there, trying to get a few guys down who are keen
Yeah, I
to
was going to
run
say
a
that.
fast 10K. Yes, down at Brisbane Entertainment Centre, around the mile-long ring road there. So there'll be a few guys, yeah, maybe running 10K PBs at the same time. So that should be pretty fun. Yeah, so that's this week. Tomorrow I'm doing a track session, 6x K, followed by some short fast reps. But yeah, but basically the main session for the week that I'm preparing the week around is that key marathon session on Sunday.
And when's the 1K time trial race for the Bush Turkeys, Clive? Is that in the next few weeks?
That's not next weekend. That's the 1 mile around the entertainment center,
Oh, that's
actually.
the
Not
mile next. Yeah,
this week, the
same
weekend
location.
after.
Yeah,
Yep. And then the
gotcha.
following week is the 1K time trial on the Deegan Speedway. However, that Sunday, so the following day, I'll be doing the 3x7K, and it might be, if the
Oh.
stars align, might be doing it down the coast with Kyle, actually. So I unfortunately won't be participating in round three.
Wow. Big news, big news. And the shorter you go there, the scarier it is for me, the short stuff. I get burnt by the turkeys. The longer it goes, the better I am. But Kyle, how about you, mate, next 2 weeks?
Yeah, so I'll be kind of normal kind of Tuesday. We do kind of interval type stuff. I think we're doing some mile reps tomorrow. I'll probably stick at the moment the next couple of weeks to still doing Tuesday, Friday sessions, and then just potentially I'll be playing Sundays a bit by ear as far as what the weather's like, whether I go kind of down towards marathon pace or not. But we're doing a 12K over under on Friday. So I really like these type of sessions, and we do them every 4 to 6 weeks. But I'll probably start off and do, the slower K, well, not slow, but the slower of the 2Ks at about kind of that 335-ish kind of pace, 335, 340. And then I'll probably try and do the faster Ks around that kind of 325 pace. So we'll just float between that. So hopefully you get about 12K worth of work that'll probably average out around that kind of 332, 333. And then Sunday, depending on how we feel, I think the plan's to do about 3 by 10 minutes just at marathon pace or effort, depends on how we're feeling kind of later in that run, but that'll be very weather dependent. We'll just make the call as we're going. So I think the next 2 weeks for me will be reasonably standard kind of Tuesday, Friday sessions. We'll still build the Friday session out a bit longer, and then Sunday will just be kind of like the standalone long run with it'll be maybe some marathon stuff. And then I'll probably try and hit two key bigger Sunday sessions, which will be that probably 3 by 7K that Clive was talking about, which I think we chatted about, I think 19th of January. I think that's the week after. And then I'll probably do another one 2 weeks after that, which will be 3 weeks out. I'll probably do just like a really long, steady run on the 4 weeks out. And then 3 weeks out, I'll do whether it ends up being that 40, 45 minutes, and then a couple of 5 minute reps that I've done in the past that I've quite liked. That's what I did 3 weeks out from Gold Coast and worked really nicely. But yeah, the next 2 weeks should be hopefully just some good volume, get the mileage up a bit higher and keep feeling good, hopefully.
Very good. And where's the long run planned, gentlemen, for you guys to run down the Gold Coast together?
Yeah, well, we normally do ours. We start at kind of Main Beach, which is not too far from where Gold Coast Marathon starts, kind of like the 2K mark of the course. And often we'll start and we'll run down south along the coastline first and come back and drop some people off. And then we'll do our efforts up towards the Spit where the Gold Coast Marathon ran this year. And kind of come back on the road a little bit there, which, depending on what the wind direction is, can be quite a tough last 5 kilometers straight back into a headwind, which could be interesting. But I don't know if you've looked at the course, Clive, but we have a dead straight road from 35 to 40K in Osaka, and there's a very good chance that's going to be a headwind from 35 to 40. So might be a good chance to practice
Oh,
some
okay.
running into the headwind. So
Yeah,
we'll
good.
see. That's the
Love
plan
headwinds,
anyway.
especially towards the end of a marathon.
Just what you want. Just what you want. We might not be too. It could be a tailwind. Might be great, but we'll see.
You never know, gents. That's the marathon. And thank you again for your time. Definitely appreciate it. The night before New Year's Eve, and it's almost 9 p.m. So thank you again. And yeah, anything that you share on Instagram, and if your profile is public, I'm happy to share anything you're doing for the listeners to tune in on and keep up with what's happening out there. And we probably have about sort of two, three more episodes, at least probably three, and continue the good work that you guys are doing. So thank you again.
Yeah, thanks for having us,
Thanks,
Ollie.
Ellie.
And Happy New Year, boys.
Same to
Happy
you.
New Year. See you guys. Thank you.
See ya.
See you, mate.